Don't let this world consume our thoughts. Lord, help us to have our eyes fixed on the kingdom that is to come. That, Lord, that you're coming for your bride. And thank you, Lord, that we are your bride. And I thank you, Lord, that you're preparing us for your coming. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us everything necessary for life and godliness through our knowledge of you. And Lord, let us be the salt and the light of this world. Lord, let us allow your light to shine out of us. Lord, let us be that light to be on that hill in this town, in our families' lives. Father, even those who are feeling hopeless, I pray, Lord, that you would just stir in us to reach out to them and share the love of Christ to them. Father, let us not be holding back your love, but Lord, let us share your love with others. And Father, just even for, you know, Carrie, who's sick today, and Father, all that he's going through, Father, we lift him up to you. Father, we pray for Maroon's family in Lebanon. We pray, Father, that you would just open up their eyes to you, that, Father, that they would know that you are God. Lord, even other family members who do not know you, Lord, I just pray for their salvation. I pray, Father, that you would visit them in their dreams. Father, that you would consume their thoughts, that you would consume every part of their lives. And Father, even for us, as we pray that every distraction that is going on in our minds right now, Lord, we take captive those thoughts right now and make them obedient to your word. Father, we just thank you that you have given us all things. And thank you that you are our peace in the troubles. You're the peace and the comforter. You are our joy and our hope. You are our assurance. You are our redeemer. Father, let us be stirred in such a have a passion for you like we have never had before. Lord, let our walk grow deeper with you. Lord, help us to realize who you are, that you are God. Your ways are your ways, not ours. Your thoughts are your thoughts, not ours. Lord, help us to have the mind of Christ. Let us have the thoughts of Christ. Let us have the hope in Christ today. And I thank you, Father. And I pray for the kids. Father, we just lift them up to you. Father, we just pray that you would pour your spirit upon them, that you would guide them. Father, that you would just help them to see who they are in you. Father, that they would have a deeper desire. And Father, that they would be used by you for your glory and your purpose. And Lord, that their walk with you would even spur us on to be encouraged for what you're doing in their lives. And Lord, we thank you for your provision. We thank you that you are God. And I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, bless you.
Unlike some people.
So last week we talked about obedience and how the Lord desires us to abide in him. And I just want to kind of go over, I don't know, is it just me that you have a feel there's an urgency? You know, there's an urgency. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For myself, like I was sharing on Tuesday, it says, it seems like every time I read in the Bible lately, it's about abiding in him. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't know if it's a word for myself, but it just every time I read, it's always showing abide in me. Must be me. It must be me because I'm so way out there. But I just have this urgency to abide in the Lord and to surrender things. I shared how the Lord's been speaking to me about one specific thing and to let it go. And it was like the salt house. I'll share that. And I was like, Lord, it's such a good thing. It's a great ministry. And these kids, we're teaching them about who Christ is. And we're showing them and loving on them. But then the Lord's like, but I have something else for you. And I had this struggle for a couple months. And, you know, other people were praying, you know, just like my yoke could be eased. And I was like, when I said that, okay, Lord, I will, then it just, like, such a peace came that I wasn't trying to do it on my strength, because it's a good ministry, but it doesn't, how to say this correctly? It's a good ministry, but if God has called you to do something else, you need to be obedient to that. Even though it's a good ministry, I need to be obedient to what God has told me. Because I'm moving into a different, my mentorship, and it's going to be more in depth, and my time is going to be more in depth in that, taking up more time to even surrender other things that I need to surrender. I think sometimes we don't like to surrender things because we think it's a good thing to do. Right? So when God is speaking to you about letting go of something, I know we're going to fight it. But we need to say, Lord, as you give it to me, I will give it back to you. I'm going to give this back to you. And it's been freeing. Right? It says in John 15, 5-8, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. So dries up, lifeless. Just think, if you don't, not abiding in Christ, you're going to dry up. You're going to start to wither. And then you're going like, God, where are you? God says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. The Lord's asking us to abide in him. You know, God is he trims our branches. As he was trimming, as we learn to abide in him, he along the way, he's trimming these branches. So all this energy does not go to this branches that are wild or they're, you know, but he needs to prune them so more of the energy goes to where he wants us to operate in. And so when we think about that, Lord, where am I not operating in? What areas of my life am I not obeying you? And this is to my Father's glory, to bear much fruit, that you bear much fruit. It's to the Father's glory that we bear much fruit. Not for our glory, but for his glory, that we would bear much fruit. Showing yourselves to be my disciples. So when we abide in him and we're bearing his fruit, then we are showing that we are his disciples, that we're trusting in him and that we're depending on him. Just being obedient to what God has been called us to be his children, to be his Talmid, his disciples, to be his bride. Jeremiah 29:13 says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Amen. Jeremiah 29:13, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Mm-hmm. Wholeheartedly searching for him. Not half-heartedly, wholeheartedly, giving yourself to him, saying, Lord, here I am. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of being lukewarm. You think in Revelation how Jesus says, he talks about it, I don't want people who are lukewarm because I will spit them out. I want somebody who is either very hot or very cold. When we're not wholeheartedly in love with them, if we're lukewarm, that means we have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. We're lukewarm because we don't know which side of the fence we want to be on. We want to be like, well, I think I want to be on this side because I might look like it's the winning side right now. because of all this and this. And I don't want to be on this side because, you know, this is God. So we're in the middle, we're jumping back and forth. What do we want? Do we want to search God wholeheartedly or still remain in this world? You know, God, when Jesus saved us, we were set apart from this world. When you gave your life to Jesus, now you're set apart. So that means our citizenship is no longer of this world, but our citizenship is in the kingdom of God that is yet to come. Amen. That is our hope. That is our holy hope, knowing that Christ is going to return. You know, the Lord desires us to give our affection, our heart to Him wholeheartedly. As we continue to walk in Him, our desires, focus, thoughts, our love grows deeper for Him. Our love for Him actually becomes a deeper desire. And I know my love for Him has been growing deeper. I think before, it was more like a shallow love. I don't know how many of us could say that. Even in our marriages, sometimes our love is very shallow towards our spouse. And God wants our love for Him to grow deeper. So what, is that encouraging? That He wants our love to go deeper? That He's saying that here I am, search for me wholeheartedly, and I will reveal myself to you? He's wooing us to Him. He's stirring in our hearts to put aside the things of this world, all the cares of this world, to search Him out. And He's saying, here I am. Here I am. Give up this stuff that's weighing you down. Give this up. You know, we see in the beginning, God walked with Adam and Eve. And we see in Revelation, at the end, that believers in Christ will spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. You see, in the beginning and the end, He wants people to be with Him, to spend time with Him, to fellowship, to habitate with Him, to commune with Him. And this journey of life is for, He's like, are you going to trust me? Are you going to surrender the things that I want you to surrender right now? As we go through this walk, He asks you to surrender something here, and then sometimes a little thing here, a little thing there. And before you know it, because your love for Him, your admiration for Him grows, and then you're like, Lord, yes, I'm just going to give that up to you. I think of all the times that the Lord has spoken to me about that. My love and passion for something grew dimly, and my passion for Him grew. But it was out of obedience, out of my love for Him. So today, my question is, don't be shy to answer. What do you think is Satan's most effective weapon? Sorry? Busyness? Yeah? Yeah, like what Diane said, busyness, being under Satan's yoke. That's a good one.
Disobedience,
yeah. So, unbelief, yeah. There's no wrong answer, right? Deception, right? Distractions.
Condemnation,
yeah. Right.
Unhealthy anger.
Yeah.
Guilt of the past.
Yeah. See, Satan wants to use that to discourage us. You know, he wants to put us into depression. When we hold on to those things, it brings depression. It brings doubt. Then we start questioning who God is. Then we start doubting the Word of God. When Satan can put us in those areas of our life, in our walk with Him, then it gets to be a very scary place. Because we start, then our minds start to play, right? I think it's 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, you know, take captive every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and make it obedient to his word. I think it's that way. But just think about it. Take captive every thought. Lord, help us take captive of the thoughts that are setting themselves up against the knowledge of you today. Lord, thank you that you are the victor. Because of your victory, that we could have victory through you. Lord, that we don't have to walk in a life that is defeated. That we can walk with you, hand in hand, knowing that you fight our battles. That you're the one who's in control of our lives. You are in control of everything. And Lord, even though we may face difficulties in this world, Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. Lord, let us not be consumed by the things of this world, but we be consumed of you, for you. Right? So Satan is a deceiver. And we see that in Genesis 3. It talks, you know, Satan is such a great deceiver because he makes you think and doubt. In Genesis 3, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, did God really say, you must not eat from any of the trees, from any tree in the garden?" Right? He made her doubt. Deception. When he brings, did God really say this to you?
It's not that bad.
No? You know, God gives us his rhema. Rhema is a personal word that he gives to us for encouragement. So as we read his word, he will reveal, you know, sometimes when you read the word, it will illuminate, a certain scripture will light up, or really speaks to you. That's a personal word that God is wanting to share with you. Right? It's a personal word. So as we spend time in his word, he will speak to you through his word. And he also speaks through others. They also will give you an impression, right? But mostly he speaks through his word because it's living. He will want to encourage you and say, you know what? Don't believe this lie. Don't believe what Satan is trying to make you doubt that my word is wrong. Don't be distracted from him. Don't be distracted because he is just trying to shipwreck you. In 1 Peter, I'm going to think I might have to do this in 2 weeks. First Peter 5:8-9 says, "Be self-controlled and alert." So be self-controlled is being obedient to what God has called us. Be self-controlled. As Corinne shared this morning, it's like even, you know, we know what we need to be doing, but yet the flesh does this because the flesh is battling. What are you feeding? Are we feeding the old nature, the flesh? Or are we feeding the spiritual nature? Which one are you feeding? And I know we're going to have battles. We're going to have times of where we're going to go. Say, you know what, Lord? I don't know what to do. But Lord, help me. But be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. So be self-controlled and alert. Alert is being aware of your surroundings. Alert is being aware that, you know, it's a spiritual attack. Ephesians 6 talks about our spiritual armor that we need to put on. God has given us everything necessary to fight this battle. We are at war. And Satan does not want you to grow deeper with the Lord. If he could discourage you along the way and shipwreck you, he's going to win. If he can make you doubt and believe lies, he believe that, you know, even though we have these regrets, when we confess them unto the Lord and say, Lord, I know I blew it. I knew better. Lord, I knew I should have done that. But Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you forgive me, mm-hmm. that you would cleanse me from my time of disobedience, my rebellion, from walking away from you. Lord, I knew better. But Father, forgive me. That you would forgive me. You know what the Lord does? He forgives you. He says, come to me, all that who are weary and burdensome, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Matthew 11:28, I believe that is. Yeah. He is the one that refreshes us. And so as I've been reading about obedience, it's for us to be, as we hate that word obedience, because we like, I'm going to fight this because I don't want to surrender. Right? Here's that old nature trying to say, I'm not going to surrender to God. Who does God think he is? But he's the one who created us. He's the one who created us in our mother's womb. He's the one who knit us together and fashioned us together. He made us. He made us. To say that God doesn't care would be a lie. God cares. God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son to save the whole world. And that was for all of us. And you see how God wants us not to keep this hope, this assurance that we have to ourselves, but to let it flow out of us and to speak his life to other people. In verse 9 it says, of 8, or sorry, 5:9 says, resist him. Resist him. Resist him. Now how do we resist him? By keeping our eyes on the Lord. I can't do it under my own strength. If I try that, I'm going to fall. I'm going to fail. I resist him by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, by being obedient or abiding in the Lord. If I'm continuing to abide in the Lord, I am able to resist the schemes of Satan and able to stand firm against him. I got the armor on. I got the shoes on. Because on those shoes, I read one time that said, those sandals, the Roman soldiers, how they could have it, they had a good stance, but on the sandals they had spikes. You know how cleats you have, so you could actually grip in, right? Because those soldiers, they were fearsome. They were fearsome. They were the best in the time. And armies feared them because of how well trained they were. Think of how God is training us today. Amen. How he is training you to be a soldier for him, mm-hmm. to be a mighty warrior for him, to go out and proclaim the gospel to the lost, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Think of that. He's entrusted you. He entrusted you. Don't ever sell yourself short saying that, look at me, don't look at you, but look to Christ. As soon as we take off our eyes off of Christ, we're going to fail. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. Keep your eyes fixed on him. You notice when you keep your eyes fixed on somebody, You know, you look at them intently. Everything else around you does not matter. You don't see anything else. But if your eyes are fixed on that person, your eyes are totally fixed on them. And that's what the Lord is asking of us today. Fix your eyes on me, and I will empower you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will guide you. I will deliver you from this circumstance. I'm going to train and develop you. A soldier never puts down his weapon. If you're in the field of battle, you never put down your weapon. Your weapon is always beside you. And the weapon that God gave us was His Word.
Yes.
Never put down His Word. Never put down His Word. You know, we've been learning how to, how important it is to memorize His Scripture and meditate on His Scripture. When we memorize the Scripture, we are filling our minds and our hearts full of Him. Romans 12:2 then comes into place. This says, "Do not be transformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may know the hope." To know the hope, to know the calling that He has. Right? It's amazing when we start reading Scripture and we memorizing it, when we transform our minds, our minds being transformed, then we will know the will of God. So then no longer will we wander aimlessly, but we have a plan, because He gives us the plan. He gives us the purpose. He gives us the focus. It's amazing that when we abide in Him, as in John 15, how everything just comes together. It's about abiding in Him. You know, there's discouragement. Oh my. Discouragement. Have you ever been discouraged? Because if you have never been discouraged, I want to talk to you. Because this week, I was even discouraged for a couple hours. I was like, you know, Lord, where are you in this? And I had a little pout session. Have you ever had a pout session? We've all had a pout session. We go, Lord, where are you in this? Lord, what is happening? Lord, I've been following you. I've been faithful to you. Lord, what is happening? Why am I in this circumstance? Lord, I'm struggling in this area. Lord, why don't you save me from this? Why don't you take me out of this? Why don't you heal so-and-so? Lord, why don't you save this person? I've been praying for this person and praying for them to know you. Lord, why can't I hear you? Have you ever done that?
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. So sometimes we get discouraged. And I think of, I'm just thinking of it now, just in Hebrews, was it 10? No. 10:25. This is what happens. Let us not give up meeting together. When we get discouraged, do you ever notice that you kind of go pull within? You go looking at the insides, and, you know, you get into self-pity, and you start to say, look at poor me. And then you pull away from other godly people that who know the Lord instead of reaching out to them. So pride gets in. And then we're like, oh, they might think of me, less of me now. They're not going to think I'm a good Christian. Next week, we'll pick up from this, because you'll see the disciples. They were discouraged. They had moments of discouragement. Like us, we have moments of discouragement. But it's our choice. Do we stay in that discouragement or call out to the Lord? Say, Lord, help me to fix my eyes back on you again. Not on the circumstance, but back on you. Help me to fix my eyes on you. And we call out to him and fix our eyes back onto him. The circumstance is still there, right? But he empowers us to get through that circumstance. He helps us. He gives us peace through that circumstance. He is developing us to trust him and to rely on him. So in Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together. Oh. Thanks, Kathy. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards the love and good deeds. I like that one. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. Spur one another. Encourage one another. Reach out to one another. Church is not just on a Sunday. It's every day of the week. Right? We only come on Sundays just to praise the Lord together, to lift up his name. But church is every day of the week. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards the love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And the day is approaching. It is closer today than was yesterday. But spur and encourage one another. So how can we spur and encourage one another today? I'll finish with a couple things. Let's read Isaiah 55. We're getting... We're open. Kathy might be faster typer than me looking up the word. No, 55:11. So 55:11. Well, here, let's go to 6. 55:6. 55:6, sorry. So seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him run, let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. It's amazing how we think, Lord, why aren't you doing this? Lord, how come you're not doing this? Lord, you should be doing this way. Right? We always think we know better than what God does.
I was going to say, it would work better if.
Yeah. Lord, it would work better if you would listen to me. But it doesn't. Because he is God. He wants us to listen to him. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So, are my ways higher than your ways? My thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and the bread of the eater. So my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. Jesus is the Word. He is the Word. God sent His Word. Jesus accomplished what God intended. That you may go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you. This is the coming kingdom. This is when we spend eternity with Him. And the trees of the field will clap their hands. Can you imagine the trees clapping their hands? The sound. Instead of thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord renown, for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. His plans and purpose will be fulfilled. They will never be destroyed. Satan is not equal to God.
Amen.
There is none equal to God. Satan was a created being. And as a created being, he has to yield to the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's why we have authority. We are abiding in Him, in Christ, that we have authority over Satan. Because Jesus took His power away. And that if we walk in obedience to the Word of God, we are given that authority to stand against the schemes of Satan. That's why we can say, in Jesus' name, be gone. That's why we have authority. Because of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross, by rising, being resurrected, and now sits at the right hand of the Father, always interceding for you. Do you know that? He's interceding for you right now. Because His Word says that. I'm hoping that we're being encouraged today. Satan is defeated. He's under our feet. However, we need to be abiding in Christ. If you're not abiding in Christ, you do not have the authority over Satan. It's by being abiding in Christ. When we don't abide in Christ, Satan will beat us up. That's why we need to be abiding in Christ, to walk in faith and trust and hope. And when we have bitterness, resentment, when we sinned, we repent and get right with God, so we're in right standing with Him. I'll finish with this. John 14:1. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in Me." Not me, but Jesus. Trust in Him. Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in Yeshua." I like using Yeshua because that's His Hebrew name, and it means salvation. Jesus Christ means the Anointed One. But Jesus, the Yeshua, the Messiah, is salvation. And Jesus brings salvation. Yeshua is salvation. There's power in words. And God's Word is powerful. So I think next week we'll finish. But my hope, as we see the day approaching, let's not lose hope. Let's not give up meeting together. Even during the week, to encourage one another, text somebody. If you need encouragement, I'll give you my text number. Text me. We'll pray. But don't, or you reach out to somebody else from the church. But don't get in the habit of going back.
Yes.
and hiding.
Yes. Amen.
But reach out. Right? Because we all have times of trouble.
Yes, we do.
Right? You want to sing?
Mm-hmm.